I think Ketchmek Bay State Park and these projects that you're talking about, it really is a microcosm of all the different elements that we're talking here today. So it is this beautiful natural resource that people love to go experience. As Chris was saying, and as Jack was saying, there's a lot of economic value in this for local folks, too, because you got water taxis, you've got lodging, you've got folks who sell maps, you've got people back on the spit who have T-shirts with logos for trails and things like that. From the state parks perspective, though, Jack, I get the assumption when I'm over there that that is an expensive area for you guys to try and maintain, because you're having to pay to ship people and equipment back and forth. And the nature of the forest over there just seems really maintenance heavy. There are trees down all the time. It's kind of wet. And there's a lot of erosion issues. And parks, I think, is in this kind of unfortunate catch-22 where if you're doing your job right, you're creating more access and making it easier and more enticing for people to get out into the backcountry and be on these trails. But when you're having more use of these trails, that doesn't directly relate to more funding for maintenance. So you're almost kind of creating a problem for yourself if you're getting increased usage, especially with the state budget being in the shape that it's in now. Unfortunately, I don't think most departments can expect any sort of increase in funding from the state level. So like you say, having this idea of a grassroots partnership with some really gung-ho trail volunteers seems like really about the only functional way that we're going to be able to certainly have new trails, much less maintain the ones that we have. Am I anywhere within the ballpark on this one, Jack? That's just from me being over there hiking, it seems like.
Jenny, I think you sum that up, very well. It's, it is very, it's a difficult place to try and manage facilities. You can't just jump in your truck and drive to the trailhead. You have to take a boat, boat access, or aircraft, and so it's expensive by nature of the transportation to get there. I think that as we look at future projects and new projects, having this discussion ahead of time about the maintenance and thinking this through very carefully with how do we maintain any new infrastructure. And so in many cases, a lot of the work that we're doing in Ketchmek Bay is just is rebuilding existing trail. And back when many of the trails were built 20 years ago, there wasn't as great of an emphasis on building a sustainable trail, a trail that will require, just by nature of the design, require less maintenance. And a lot of this is just lessons learned. Land managers now realize that there's ways that we can design trail, whether it's by nature of just simply locating the trail tread, we can cut down on our maintenance costs. And so building trails to sustainable standards is really important today. But in Ketchmek Bay, we've had a lot of discussions with the community about how can we maintain the trail that's the trail system in the park, and we don't have a dedicated trail crew. We have a handful of people that of employees that are super dedicated and hardworking, and so partnering with we have a very active Friends of the Park group in Ketchmek Bay, and they have done an outstanding job of trying to raise money and then coordinating volunteer work parties, and that's it's really proven to be an outstanding way to help us get work done in the park, and they help coordinate volunteers, so we'll end up with hundreds of volunteer hours of service, and so that's an example where we're it may not be the ideal solution, but it's a good step for where we're at right now in trying to maintain trails. And frankly, you know, there is interest across the nation for coming to Alaska to volunteer. I mean, we will recruit volunteers to come up and work work in the park, work in our parks on a throughout the summer, and they'll pay their own way to get to Alaska, and we'll put them up in a bunkhouse for the summer, and they'll help take care of trails. So there's definitely a volunteer effort here that can be captured to help help maintain our not just our trails but our public lands.
Right. And so I should reintroduce everybody. We haven't done that in a little bit. That's Jack Blackwell, superintendent of the Kenai Prince William Sound region of Alaska Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. We've also got Chris Beck, who's lead of the Alaska Trails Initiative, which is leading the charge on creating an Alaska Long Trail, which is what we're talking about here today on the Kenai Conversation. You are, of course, tuned to KDLL Kenai Soldotna 91.9 FM. I'm Jenny Nyman. And I think, Jack, that's probably a good transition to bring Chris back into this. So when you're talking about volunteer efforts, so in Ketchmack Bay State Park, they have that Friends organization. On the, correct me if I'm wrong, but on the Eastern Peninsula, you know, the sections that we're talking about that would be incorporated into the Long Trail, Johnson Pass, Lost Lake, I don't think there is an equivalent Friends organization currently. So is that what the Alaska Trails folks, Chris, is that what you're kind of proposing to do?
Yeah, and thanks for asking about that. So Alaska Trails, maybe comes down to a couple, two or three main things that this statewide group's doing. One is this overall trails initiative, and another one is called Alaska Trail Stewards. And that's a steadily growing program, very much in the spirit of what Jack has described. And that has been building trails and bringing, you know, literally thousands of hours of volunteer trail work, sort of growing out of Anchorage. We did a lot of work this summer. If you come down and go hiking in the Chugach State Park, immediately joining Anchorage, you'll be on some trails that volunteers built this summer. This summer, we were also able, for the first time, to hire a paid trails crew with some federal CARES Act funds. And now we're working actively with the forest to extend that group of volunteers and the approach Jack is describing down onto Chugach National Forest. And it looks like there's going to be some valuable work done down there. There's already been a little, but that's really growing. And I think Jack's correct that one important piece of the puzzle is taking advantage of the fact that a lot of folks feel they should give back, enjoy getting out and doing something tangible and productive. But if I could, I'm going to broaden the discussion about funding, because you're asking, I think, Jenny, the critical questions. A lot of neat ideas, easy to think about it, but reality, how do you pay for them?
Right,
and
of course.
At the federal level, there is a huge amount of money that's being directed to Alaska that Alaska is choosing to not take, which is certainly kind of a shocking statement, but it's true. And I won't go into all the acronyms and the details, but I'll use one example. This Great American Outdoors Act that was just passed has two elements. One is deferred maintenance on federal lands. The other is a change in something called the Land Water Conservation Fund. And that's been used for the last 30, 40 years in Alaska for maybe $40 million worth of projects. It requires a 50% match, and it's used by the state and the local governments and tribal governments. But for the last 3 years, Alaska is not choosing to accept those funds, partially because we haven't had a legislature who wanted to fund the match, nor even the local administrative capability to allow this money to come to Alaska. And unfortunately, just this last fall, we gave away $1.2 million that was all ready to go for lack of a $75,000 administrative cost that would allow Alaska to receive those. That was money that was supposed to have come in 2018. We have another roughly $3 million in the funds that are waiting on the doorstep, 2019 and 2020. And now with this recent Great American Outdoors Act, there's going to be up to $3 or $4 million a year available to Alaska that would pay every dollar Alaska would put in, the federal government would put in another dollar. So I think the reason for explaining that slight technical information is that funding and solutions are available at a federal level, at a state level, and at a local level. But to access the federal, the generous federal funds, requires the state legislature and the governor's office to say, yeah, this, we should put in a little bit of money and not leave money lying on the table. So I think that's an important thing for listeners to know about, because this coming legislative session is going to be the chance for the legislature, in a really fiscally tight situation, to decide, should we spend a little bit of money to get more and use that as a way to help to rebuild an economy that's hurting right now. So I think there are opportunities there, but the term I've been using, it requires Alaska to kind of shift from its current poverty mentality, where we just got to cut, and somehow that's going to make our economy stronger, into more of an investment mentality, like let's spend some money to make some money. And outdoor recreation is a huge opportunity for that. So there's my speech for the day.
And I think a lot of folks would hope that Juneau hears that speech, but on the other side of things, having just gotten through election season and having interviewed all the candidates, that budget is going to be a challenge this year, and the political wherewithal to be adding things back to a budget that is billions of dollars in the hole is maybe going to be a little bit of a tough sell. So what is the outlook on maybe not complete, you know, Seward to Fairbanks all done and ready to go and the red carpet is rolled out, but is this, if funding initially isn't available, if it's kind of more of a chink away at it over the years sort of thing, can you do it in phases? Can you do it in portions? Do you have a timeline for when you would like to get this all done?
So even before there was the conception of the Long Trail, this kind of connecting vision, individual segments were identified as priorities, and that's what this trails investment strategy outlines. You know, if people want to know more about that, you can go to the website Alaska Trails, and there's a whole section that talks about this. But I think as we speak, there's a proposal in to build some bridges using the Great American Outdoors Act on the southern trek of the Iditarod. And there's a proposal to use some federal, called RTP Recreation Trail Program grant, to complete a trail up on the Curry and Tisugi Ridges in Denali State Park, north of Anchorage. And there's a proposal up in the Tanana State Forest to connect existing logging roads between Nenana and Fairbanks. Each of those were identified as priorities, but they also turn out to be elements of this long trail. So just as you said, we're going to keep pushing with federal funds where they're available, with state partners to get those federal funds. A local government can be the one rather than the state that can find some granting matching dollars and bring those to projects that are sponsored by a local government. So the Kenai Peninsula Borough, if it could find a dollar to match a federal dollar, that could go into helping build trails any place in the borough. So I think there's a bunch of opportunities. And at the same time, trails like the Appalachian, with 3 or 4 decades or longer in coming. So I think we're going to just keep making progress on the segments, keep working with local folks so that they're really the voices that are driving this, and keep making the case that the more we offer ways for people to have fun outside, be active, be healthy, that the more we build the support to solve the problems Doc, for example, is describing about the minimal budgets for state parks. And a detail before I quit is, it's sort of thinking about hiking, and we really are trying to make this whole effort for more and better trails to not just be hiking. So it's not just folks with Subarus parking at the edge of a trail and going for a walk. It's really all categories of users who are interested in motorized use, ATVs, snow machines, bikes, equestrian, and very much interested in full seasons of use. I think to the question about what's the economic benefit of these kind of investments, the fastest growing category of visitation in places like Denali National Park turns out to be in the winter. And all these businesses are jumping up in the Fairbanks area as people start to discover that, you know, March in Alaska can be kind of a sweet place. So the idea of water trails, of winter trails, that's all part of this broader initiative.
Okay. And then, Jack, to go back to you, maybe to dovetail on part of what Chris was talking about with local matches, whether that's state match or borough or city, does state parks have much of a budget that they could contribute to this? And if not, what do you see state parks' role as being in the long trail? Are you guys kind of managers of work crews or coordinators or cheerleaders from the sidelines, or are you guys going to be able to really, you know, kind of roll up your sleeves and fund part of this or do work for part of this? Where do you see state parks fitting in?
So this is a really exciting project. You know, it's a statewide project, 500 miles of you know, long trail. Obviously, it crosses, you know, as Chris has pointed out, a number of different federal and state public lands along the way. You know, the Alaska Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation, we are the recreation branch of state government. And so really, as we look, most of the time we focus primarily on the management of the state park and recreation areas. But, you know, overall, our as you look at the big picture of state government, we are the branch that promotes recreation and, you know, and is tasked with providing recreation opportunities. So obviously our budget is very tight right now, but we can contribute our staff and participate in the discussions. There we have access to federal recreation trails program grant funds that start with the federal government that end up being dispersed through the Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. That is, it may not be able to fund $1 million project, but they can fund projects on a yearly basis of up to $100,000 and require a 10% match at the state level. So as Chris mentioned, that's a really good program that's in place right now that that the state can access for some of the smaller programs. That won't build 50% of the 500-mile trail, but it'll do components at a time. And the nice thing about that program is that we can use state labor as a match. If we are using state equipment, such as boats or other heavy equipment, we can use that as a match. So that's a real good program that's out there. I will also circle back here to the Land and Water Conservation Fund that we talked about earlier, and that also really is a tremendous opportunity for the state of Alaska to participate in. Currently the state park system has about $60 million worth of deferred maintenance, and that's everything from campgrounds that need a facelift to trails to buildings that need some attention. And so $60 million, we haven't seen any state capital funding provided to try to chip away with that in about 5 years. And so that deferred maintenance backlog just grows. And that's and that includes the facilities that were built 30 years ago that have just flat worn out from service. I think it's, you know, people recognize that just because you build a building doesn't mean it'll be there forever. It requires some maintenance and attention, and eventually things wear out. And so the Land and Water Conservation Fund is really a good, you know, could really help us to try to chip away at this deferred maintenance and try to improve our recreation facilities, including trails. So I think that's really important, and I appreciate Chris bringing that up.
Excellent. Okay, and then going forward, we're getting up to the top of the hour here, so we're going to have to wrap up. But Jack, from your perspective then, as this develops, as folks get involved, what's maybe your ideal vision for how this is going to work? So if this long trail is successful in increasing hikers, increasing, you know, trail use volume, I would imagine that's going to create some more maintenance costs as well, too. I don't know that all of our Eastern Kenai Peninsula trails are really built at this point to handle a ton more traffic. I mean, you look at Lost Lake and the race that they do there every August and some of the issues that has caused. So how would you like to see this develop going forward in a way that supports trails on parklands and maybe doesn't create more headaches for you guys down the line?
I think continued collaboration with the Alaska Trails initiative, with all the partners involved. You know, we need to carefully think through if we develop anything new, we need to figure out how we're going to take care of it and maintain it. And I think we've talked about some creative options and examples of things that have worked well for us. And so I think we continue the discussion. We chip away at it one piece at a time. This year we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Alaska State Park System. I mean, we are a young state. Our park system has only been around for 50 years. And so, you know, think ahead and imagine what the next 50 years can provide Alaskans and our park system. You know, visions like this are really where it starts. And we've got a great opportunity. Let's work together and we'll figure it out.
All right, then, Chris, let's get back to you to wrap up. How do you see this developing, you know, in an ideal world? When might this be completed? And then also, I would love it if you would give listeners ways that they can get more information and can get involved.
Sure. And Jack just said it well. I mean, I think if there is a growing voice for taking greater advantage of our outdoor recreation opportunities and finding practical ways to pay for that, you're right to bring up the challenges of maintenance and that doesn't happen for free. But I think the main story and the evidence all over the world that's true is that modest investments bring large amounts of benefits, and those benefits are available to the people who live here or the people who think about moving here, because, boy, that'd be a sweet place to live, or the business that's going to stick around or choose to be here because of the amazing outdoor recreation opportunities. And Alaska has just chosen to not really invest in those. So getting a stronger voice that recognizes those opportunities, making those investments, is the way forward. And I think the more we do, the more benefits we'll see. And those will be, you know, keeping the restaurant open through the winter, or finding a job for our kids who are trying to stay here but want to be able to make a living. So that's the motivation, and I guess that's the vision. It's sort of active, healthy, happy people outside, visitors and residents. And I love your question about how to learn more and be involved. So Alaska Trails has a website that can add a lot of details to some of the things that I've been talking about, that Jack's been talking about, and easy to find if you just go to alaskatrails.org, and there's a section on the Trails Initiative. There's a section on the Trail Stewards Program that I mentioned. And as much as it might sound like we've got this all figured out, it's a work in progress. And so we really are looking for new ideas, new voices. If you're interested, by all means, you can find my contact information there. Steve Cleary is our executive director. we'd be more than happy to get your ideas, your energy, you folks out there listening, and assistance on everything from thinking through the routes on the long trail to volunteering to work on a maintenance project on that to how we might gently and in a realistic way work with our local individual legislators and the legislature as a whole and the governor's office so that we can take advantage of some of the federal funding programs that are there but require a bit of money on the state side to them to come and provide the value. And this upcoming legislative session is a key one, so that's a specific way to be involved. But I think broadly, we've just barely tapped the outdoor recreation resources of Alaska. And doing that isn't just a pedal to the metal, just like make every valley busy. They'll just be smart and find ways that we can have the quiet places we love and at the same time find ways to bring in more spending that helps us, you know, keep our schools open and the roads plowed and our businesses healthy and successful. So that's our big vision, and we'd love people's help.
All right, and we are going to have to leave it there. That is Chris Beck, lead of the Alaska Trails Initiative. Also, thanks to Jack Blackwell, superintendent of the Kenai Prince William Sound region of the Alaska Division of Parks and Outdoor Recreation. I'm Jenny Nyman. This has been the Kenai Conversation on listener-supported public radio for the Central Kenai Peninsula. KDLL, Kenai Soldotna, 91.9 FM. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. And hey, when you're done with dinner, maybe go for a hike.